Podcasting 2.0 for October 28th, 2022, episode 108, Hard Out. Hello, everybody. Once again, it is time for the weekly board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. If you're a Podcasting 1.0-er, you are welcome. We're backwards compatible. Everything going on at podcastindex.org. All the things that you need to know about the new standards, the namespace, and of course, everything we're discussing at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. Ladies, he'll get to your email eventually. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
We're early victims of the tridemic.
No, you know, if only they had used tridemic. Instead, they used triple-demic, which is dumb. It's bad marketing.
Well, the twin-demic was the one, the previous one.
Yes.
So this is, I guess they couldn't, they didn't set the standard with bi-demic. They had to go, keep with the same off-label usage. So they went with triple-demic.
Yeah, we discussed this on No Agenda, and we decided that it was bad marketing because, you know, if you say tridemic, it sounds kind of scary. If you say triple-demic, it sounds like something you get at McDonald's.
or a ride at an amusement park.
A ride, yes. It's the triple-demic. I want to go on the triple-demic, Daddy.
Yeah, it's like the Simpsons. It's like a ride in the Simpsons area of Universal Studios.
Exactly.
Marigold, my youngest, my 12-year-old. She,
what a beautiful name that morning. Is, Marigold.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you call her Mary for short, or just hey you? Mm-hmm.
when times are good, yeah. It's Mary.
Mary,
when and she's in trouble, it's
Marigold.
Yeah. Yep, full name.
Yeah.
Now she woke up this morning with fever, aww. And then my wife's coughing and everything. I'm like, oh crap!
Here RSV, triple demic, down yeah. for the count, super bug. We're all gonna die. Who has monkeypox these days?
Oh, but it's coming. It just wait. Monkeypox. It's going to be the next big thing. You just have to wait. It's not here yet.
Now, just briefly, semi-empty nester now. How you doing, Papa?
Mm-hmm. I'm all right. I'm getting there.
You'll be laughing about this in 6 months.
It's been rough, man. I miss the hell out of my kids.
So you just had the one left?
Yeah, we spent 20 years
trying to get rid of them.
These guys. Yeah. No, in the trenches. I mean, like not just with, we didn't just have kids. We like had to manage them on a daily basis through their entire education.
Right.
So it's like, you know, now then they leave and you're like,
crap.
You're like, should we play a board game? And you're like, what exactly should we do?
The little shits. I know. I know how it feels. Yeah. Like. I understand.
Yeah. So, we have that crocheted on a pillow. The little shits.
Hey, nice to see the Podverse live stream page. That was kind of a cool idea.
It's a very cool idea. I mean,
is it podverse.fm/livestreams? I think. Let me see.
Let's see.
Yeah, it is. And there we are. We're live. It shows us live, and it shows us pending before and. It shows the 100% retro stream live. It shows CurioCaster live, which is, I didn't know Stephen B. had a stream.
I didn't. I think that may be the NA stream. I don't think that's actually him.
Let me see.
Because I listened to it for a minute.
It is.
I think that may be the NA stream. Oh, you better cut that off. It's Inception. We're gonna
die.
Yeah, it's going to melt the internet.
Well, that's okay. So I have a good question about this right off the bat. Let me just see. Is this a value for value? Let me just check.
Oh, there's a link to the live stream things. It's like a main. It's a first class citizen right there on the left hand side of Podverse.fm.
Oh yeah, no, I know. I saw that.
Cool.
But so this CurioCaster stream though, this is interesting because I think it was Chad F who said to me, "Hey, you know, can you make a feed of the No Agenda live stream?" I'm like, well, that's because I did the feed for 100% retro, which I love how CurioCaster is promoting it. Little banner there. Have you heard it yet? Thanks, David. And I said, oh, that's a good idea. We should do that. And then as I was thinking about it, this is an interesting challenge because the No Agenda stream is used for podcasts and increasingly more live shows. I'd say, I don't know what the ratio is, but there's a lot of people going live, particularly since the lit tag came into existence because there's boosting and there's interaction. It's fun. And man, is it...
Is it bowl for bowl who have, you know, you trigger a certain amount of sats and a goat sound goes off. And
no, that's behind the schemes.
Behind the schemes, right. So yeah. Insanity. It's beautiful. But if we, I mean, I love this. I wish that was packaged. I wish I could use it. I mean, I love those things. Those little, you know, because I'd set it really high and like, I want the bell to go off and fireworks. And so all this stuff. But if we do it on the stream and then people are listening to the No Agenda stream, the feed that I set up, I mean, there is currently no way to dynamically switch the value block based upon metadata coming from the stream or something else. Because otherwise, it'll just go into whatever splits or whatever I determine. And I feel it would be beautiful if somehow we can. And it kind of follows on what we talked about on the last show, where 100% retro, they want to be able to trigger pod ping events. But it's kind of more interesting when you can trigger, just based upon the metadata of the stream, a switch in the value block. I'm not sure where that happens or how that works, but do you understand the basic issue, why it wouldn't be right for me to have an overall stream, whereas with value for value. And if people are listening in CurioCaster and they're listening to Gene and Darren, and they want to boost, they wouldn't be boosting them directly. Does that make sense?
I understand exactly what you're saying. This is the thing that I brought up last week that you told me was no problem because Icecast had metadata, and that's not a problem.
Right, but yeah, I mean, it has metadata, but how do we catch it? How do you dynamically change the block? How does all that work?
First thing would be pod ping makes sense, that there would be a pod ping event that fires off.
Ooh.
Like,
oh, that's, well, sexy.
So what you're doing, like, let's back up here for a second. So there's like a bunch of different things that we need to talk about in around this entire idea of stream of feeds with things in them that don't have items. So
I have items now. I mean, I feel that you should have items. And I didn't do that initially with 100% retro. And now they're actually cutting promos every week. That's, you know, this week on 100% retro. And I make that an item.
Well, I don't feel like you should have items.
Okay.
Right. I disagree. I don't think the item is.
I didn't put it in and it broke a lot of shit. So that was my cue. It was like, oh, I think I need items.
Right. And so let's go down that road for a second. So I think we talked last week. I think Harv has right. I think we talked about somehow attaching a chapters file.
Right. Live chapters. Yes, we did talk about that.
That would be one way to do it. But then again, I think if we rewind here, if we go back to the original concept of a live item, then the live item is not meant to specify a stream. It's meant to specify an event.
Yes. So
the event would be the change of DJ or the change of show. So you would have a feed that would have multiple live items in it, all with pending, except one of them is live. And then the next one, that one rolls off and the next one goes live.
Mm-hmm.
So like so that's the way it's supposed to work. Then
block changes automatically.
Right. And so you would just need to send another pod ping to say live, and it would reference the same stream, and then things would refresh,
right?
And the value block would come through.
Yeah. Oh, my head's exploding. That's very cool. We basically have all the bits there.
Yeah, I think the problem's already solved. The issue is that nobody's doing a feed that looks like that, so we don't see it. Perception issue.
Right. So what would basically have to happen in this case, so if I put in 24 hours of, and by the way, I have no commercial involvement. I just like this guy. I've known him for 100 years. He used to book me on gigs in Belgium, and you know, he's just a dude trying to do something different, and I appreciate it. Could I fill up 24 hours, which would say be like five different blocks of, or six different blocks of 4 hours, something like that, mm-hmm. and put them pending in the feed. The only thing mm-hmm. that would then still, because the feed will read them and will know, okay, that one's dead. This is the next one, but somewhere it has to flip to live in the yes. in the feed. So that would be a logic that logic would be on the publishing side.
Yes. Okay. That's right.
You think Stephen B has already built it? I mean, he has excuses about being cut up and stuff, but
like he got knifed in the gut 20 times or something like
that. Oh my goodness. I'm so happy he's okay. We got real quiet around him. I'm like, oh no, this is not good.
I'm looking at live item real quick because if I remember.
I find this incredibly exciting, by the way. I don't know why, but I still am not getting Todd's new media show live pod pings.
I'm trying to look and see what the attribute. Okay, so status, start, and end are all required.
Which is real easy with a linear radio stream. You know exactly when it starts and stops, which is kind of cool. And that could be
CMS can just drop that thing down.
Well, it could be automatically generated by their playout system.
Oh yeah. Just translate that right into XML. Yeah.
They have a full scheduling system with all the metadata. Everything's in there.
See, this is what Sam Sethi needs for his River Radio as well. I mean, this would be the same exact scenario. You just run that playout system into XML to generate the feed.
Sexy. I use MRList, and that's something that's highly configurable. You can do scripts and stuff, so that might be something to look at.
Well, okay, so this, but on the broader, sort of like on the bigger view here, this brings up what we were talking about a while ago, which is having a feed that has nothing in it, that has no items in it. Mm-hmm. If you will permit me, I would like to also bring in a discussion of the podcast remote item tag, which is phase six.
Yes, of course.
Because I think they are tangential to one another. So the
don't use big words like tangential. I mean, just talk to me like I'm five, please.
Tangential. Okay. Tangential. The podcast remote item tag is going to suffer the same sort of a limbo as a feed, as the live item, because what you can imagine is and we'll go over remote items in just a second, but what you can imagine is a feed, an RSS 2.0 feed that has no item tags in it. And off the bat, that is fine. According to the RSS 2.0 spec, it's fine to have an RSS feed, RSS 2.0 feed with just a channel that has zero items in it.
Yeah, it's just a parsing issue and decision that mm-hmm. the client makes.
Yeah, the language says, quote, the channel can have, quote, any number of items.
Including unquote. Zero?
Yeah, so that means if any number, well, then zero is a number, so we can have zero.
Ah, so, but does zero exist?
Zero and infinity do not exist. Okay. So, but they are numbers. So it's valid XML, it's valid RSS, and so that means it's okay. So if we put in a feed like we're talking about with the 100% retro, a feed with a whole bunch of, let's just say, for the 4 hour blocks, that's six live item tags in it that all rotate and move up as the thing goes through, that's fine. The problem is the podcast index website is not displaying remote live items yet. It looks like the feed doesn't have anything in it. That's just right. Us. That's us.
That's our parser. Our parser decision. Right. Exactly.
And those live items are actually in the database. Nobody has updated the website.
Yeah. Nobody. Right, yeah. That's right. Nobody has done mm-hmm. that. No one cares. No one wants to help. Too lazy.
When I say nobody, that's a deflection to point the finger at somebody else besides me. Because why would I ever do something like that?
I'm telling you, man. Never. Never, ever.
Bunch of lazy guys around here.
So explain to me remote item again.
Okay, so remote item and he just updated the spec for it. This is Alex's proposal. Remote item. I will read from the proposal. The intent of this proposal is to provide a tag that allows another item to be referenced without outright copying it. This should be an item in another feed entirely. So this is like a playlist.
Ah, gotcha. Yep.
And that's really what this is supposed to be. I mean, you can have a remote item. I mean, it's perfectly valid to have a remote item in a normal RSS feed that has items, but you can really see the power of this thing. In that scenario, that would prevent you from doing things, from having to do funky stuff like airdropping another person's episode into your RSS feed.
Right. So the item to be inserted can be an item or even a channel.
Mm-mm.
Can only be an item itself.
Yeah. So you would have an item in, let's just say, perfect example here. New Media Show. Their live episode from Podcast Movement. James was a guest on that show, so he just used that episode. Todd said, it's cool if you just use this episode and drop this enclosure into your feed. Oh,
whereas it would have been easy for him just to say remote item, boom, and points to that.
Points to the New Media Show feed and that GUID, and he doesn't have to drop another person's feed right. enclosure into his, I mean, feed item into his RSS feed.
So what you automatically want, at least what I automatically want. No, never mind. Never mind. No. I'm just trying to think, is this more because James is, I'm just going to guess he would not use that in that case because he wants his own branding around the episode. He wants to explain in his words what this episode is about, and so in that case he really only needed the MP3. So this seems mm-hmm. this remote item seems more applicable to music for creating playlists than anything else, because then you really want to give the creator of that item the full control over how that surfaces, not just the media file, but also the album art and transcripts, which might be lyrics, etc. That's where it seems like super important.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. I think what...
And I bet Alex designed it with that in mind.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's exactly what it was for. The remote item has utility outside of a playlist context, but... Playlists are really where it's thing shines.
I think we should talk about it in the context of what it was designed for. So it's not about James dropping in an episode. It's about me putting together a mixtape for my lover, Dave.
Well, this is what this is. Sweetie.
Yeah. I'm telling you, bro.
what I was doing, I was laying out the use case where everybody would be like, nah. Then I was going to follow it up with the old right hook playlist, and everybody's going to be like, whoa.
Okay. Well, you got me.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I was there. I just jumped the gun. I'm sorry. Didn't realize there was a punchline.
The first section of the proposal is cross app playlists.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, says this allows one to provide lists of other items, which one does not own copyright to, such as playlists of various different types of audio, video mediums in combination with list mediums. And we'll talk about that too. One can use a feed made entirely of podcast remote item tags to share them in a manner that allows applications to recognize them as playlists.
So then you could get into the reverse issue. You ready? I'm going to blow your mind now. So let's say, I can envision a world where making playlists of remote items with a very simple tool becomes incredibly fun. I mean, I can see exactly how the app taps into the index. It's you can even drag and drop and all this stuff. The experience is very clear in my mind. And that all under the hood is you basically building up a feed of remote items. So at a certain point, some people will be very influential. And And people will, they will want to take advantage of that. And I think other people want to get on their list, and there can be an economy there if we can figure out how do you get that list creator into the remote item value block so that they can get a, maybe it's a slug, a placeholder, something like that. You know, here's 5% for whoever puts this into a playlist. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I knew you were going to go there. And
do you prep? Do you lay awake at night and think, well, what is Adam going to say about this?
First, I'm going to suck him in with a playlist, and then he's going to
boom, yeah. Baby, boom! I'm going to get a
boost. And so,
I need a whip. Do I have a whip? Sorry.
So that brings up a good point. I think in the original spec, and I don't see it in this one. I may be overlooking. I think Alex said that the value blocks, that this should not contain value blocks, the remote item tag.
Oh, why?
And I think, let's see what, here it goes. The element defines a remote item. One or more may be defined per channel. It refers to an item outside of the feed. This should only be used for list medium types. Let's see. This should not utilize any value-related tags contained within the feed. Only the value tags on the referenced feed should be respected. So,
right,
like,
right,
yeah. So that you're
there's the problem. How do you reward someone for creating a playlist?
Yeah, I don't know because
they'll be the DJs of the future. You see. And we need to cut them in because then it incentivizes people to do all kinds of cool stuff and promotion around it. And that, and the tide lifts all boats.
See, here's my,
Don't say you have fear. I can't handle that.
Here is my, anxiety.
Concern. Anxiety. Oh my God. Yeah, okay.
No, that's even worse than fear. Okay. So, in one sense, you can say that making playlists and becoming a playlist curator or creator or whatever you want to call it is awesome. And that should be rewarded with value. But then in the other sense, it feels like that way lies madness because you could imagine a popular playlist curator be like throwing in a reference to a remote item to, let's just say, No Agenda every single week, and they're getting a cut even though they're not really doing any work.
Oh no, but I disagree. You know, I could not disagree with you more.
Okay, light the fuse. Let me have it.
I see that as value. Thank you for exposing me to your audience. As you can see in my remote item thingamabob snickajocker, I have reserved 5% for anyone in the value block for anyone who puts this as a remote item into their feed. Now, I don't know how that happens, but that's what I want. I see it as added value, not like they're not stealing from me. I want to cut them in.
Okay.
Just like an app.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think you just
have it as a fee.
Stumbled upon the answer. There could be an entry, a certain type of entry in the value block that says this, that is for this, that's for, it's just a placeholder and it says remote. I have no idea what to call this, but when you parse it, you say, okay, this podcaster has just specified that whenever somebody places a reference to their episode into a remote item list and that's the source, they get X, whatever it is, a value, whether it's a percentage or a hard-coded amount or whatever, they get this. So then you, it's almost like a variable.
Exactly. It's what I call a slug, like insert your, your value block here.
Okay. Yeah. And it's just like a placeholder that could mean anybody that does this.
Yes. Anyone who is using this as a remote item, you get 5%. And okay, so this is where it gets beautiful.
Wow.
One of the things I've been looking forward to, and Comic Strip Blogger brought this up, is to have no agenda producers, art producers. I want them, when we pick their art, I want them to automatically be added into the value block, into the split. Now, with Get cool. Albie addresses, this is really easy. Every artist can sign up for a Get Albie address. And what Comic Strip Blogger did, what I asked, is said, on the art generator, put in your profile there. Because I look at the profile, I get the name, I have to put that into the credits. Put your Albie address in there, and then boom, if you're chosen, I'll put you into the value block. So same okay. way, I'd love to, maybe it's overkill, but it seems like there's an opportunity there. It's all dynamic stuff, basically.
Right.
So maybe I'm just making life harder that way.
Well,
nah, I mean, because I was thinking, put a slug in for the art, and then that, fuck it, I'll do it myself. I'll copy paste. It's easier. Let's get the remote item thing fixed, and I'll copy paste until then.
Well, I think what you're thinking, though,
I'm looking
is
for
right.
recursion, as everyone always is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
It's like what we did with Freedom Controller Editor, where you could put these variables in there, and you could just auto-generate a template, yep. and it would be
which I still
arts.
Use twice a week, but what more than twice a week, several times a week.
And so that's that could be. I think we could forge a way forward with this once we get the remote item in place, because this doesn't really have to be part of the remote item spec.
Well, but here's the next thing, because I think this flows into, in a weird way, podcast events.
No, we're going to have John Spurlock on next week to talk about that.
Oh, good. As well. Good. But I think Sam Sethi's doing some. He's like hinting about it on Podland. Oh, I got something special to talk about next week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
Light it up, Sam.
Light it up, Sam. Okay, good. Well, I'm excited about the podcast events. I'm starting to think about what that can mean. I think it's going to be very invigorating. And it's certainly when it comes to audience doing stuff. And I see it for music, too. I see all kinds of great things that can come from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank all of the developers for creating all those great music apps. You're really right on point.
Okay. Oh, music.
Yes.
We're not done with remote items.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't I was like, okay, done. Cross that off the list.
I'm going to come back to music. Let me mark my sheet.
Okay. Remote item.
Yes. Just to flesh this out. The current, like, imagine a feed. All right. Do you have pictured in your mind an RSS feed?
You bet. I dream of this all the time.
Okay. Inside the channel, you know, you have your various things like title, description, link, language generator, all that kind of stuff. Well, in the channel of a playlist, of what is going to be considered a playlist, which, you know, just an XML feed full of remote items, you would also have a medium in there as well, mm-hmm. a medium tag.
Yeah.
And so that gives you, so here's, this is the other part of this issue. So part of the struggle that apps have is when they hit a feed that doesn't have any content in it, like content being defined as item tags.
I.e. an anchor show. Yeah. Sorry, man. I just got to contribute to the conversation somehow.
No, I endorse this. I endorse this. By the way, what happened to Anchor?
I have no idea.
Nobody even talks about it. It's like they don't exist.
All they are is just a counter for the Spotify press release. How many? What's the number? Right. What's the number, Anchor people? Hold on a second.
Pump it.
Hey, Anchor people, what's the number? What you got up there? Yeah.
1 million.
That's all it is. Spotify doesn't even talk about Anchor anymore. It's like they don't exist.
No.
So the podcast, like, you can imagine that you would need, or it would be very helpful to have a medium designated for this type of thing. So in this feed, the aggregator sees there's no items in this thing.
Right.
And so they're like, you know, WTF. So then the channel tag within this feed can have a medium of something like music L, and the L means list. So there's a new set as part of the podcast remote item spec. There would also be an update to the podcast medium tag that corresponds to new types of mediums. And the new mediums would all be an L version of an existing medium type. So you can have, you would have like music L, podcast L, audiobook L, and that the L just means a list. So this feed, if it has a medium type of music L, is a play, is a music playlist. And so the app can expect, when it parses this feed, it can expect to find a bunch of remote items in here that are music, that are of the medium type of music.
Okay.
So that's going to help, because right now you just don't, the aggregator doesn't have any, it doesn't have anything to.
Yeah. It has no context. There's no way it can know, because the medium tag is channel level and you need to have that item level for the remote item.
Right. And so that's
chill.
Yes. So that's the idea there. And then remote. So here's something that needs to be discussed. It feels like there needs to be a new medium of live or and live L. So for a list of live remote items, remote item could reference a live item, which would be, maybe you have a playlist.
We are literally building an automated radio station playout system. This has literally been developed.
This is like the chefs have like deconstructed chicken salad.
Yep.
This is deconstructed playout system.
Yep.
Okay. So that's what this, I mean, do you agree? I mean, it feels like we should
I'm with you. You know, I'm okay. Keep going.
Yeah. So if you have a list of, if you have a medium type of live L, then you have a list of, so then people could curate lists of live streams that they listen to or that are interesting or related or whatever, and share those things out. And then you can have, so it would be almost just like the podverse.fm live streams page, but you can curate them yourself and share them. And if you talk, like you were talking about with the value stuff, if we can figure that part out, you can find new live streams and get value for it.
I mean, you can also, let's see if I have this right. You could literally program a station which consisted of individual entities wherever they are. And as long as they have a stream, you can literally be listening to one feed and it'd be switching between these different live streams.
Yeah.
In real time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you can do, and also it becomes like a radio dial. I mean, like you have this list.
You can just zip. And you know what? What a concept to do a dial instead of a list, just as a UI UX moment.
Yeah. what they call that, skeuomorphism? We can just go back to the skeuomorphic.
Yes, make it look like an old leather radio dial. That'll work.
Like you can just literally like pop back and forth between radio stations in real time on the podcast
app. You know, I got to tell you, the 100% retro guys, they're beside themselves with joy about this, because you know some people are boosting them, they're getting little boosts here and there. They definitely see the stream numbers. You know, this is very few. But, and I see people even tweeting about it. Like, this is kind of cool. What the hell is this thing? Because it is live. Or more, it's most of it's live. Some of it may be tracked, but it has a live feel to it.
Are you going to rearrange the feed so that it has a bunch of live items? Are you going to try that technique? Because it feels like your feed is just a mad laboratory of trying things for this.
Well, that's my life. That's yes. That's the lifestyle I've chosen. Stephen B., he posted, What does he say? He posted something that some generator thing. His brain is already working. He's listening. So he'll come up with something. Because the whole thing is, I just need a programming thing, you know, that just fires at certain times and then hits the pod ping, the live update.
Well, does Sovereign Feeds, can it handle multiple live items in a single feed?
Yes, it can.
Oh, okay. It can. You're good.
But I still need to hit and turn it live. I still need to switch it live and republish the feed.
Ooh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And that's something I would, I put CurioCaster and Sovereign Feeds in my splits. You know, maybe they'll figure out a way to automate that for me. Mm. You know, it's feed generation logic.
Could you do it? And this is a little off the rails, but could you do it from the Icecast metadata? When you see that change, that could regenerate the feed.
That was my thinking.
Okay, but that's kind of after the fact.
Well, exactly. And I'm also thinking it makes so much more sense if we have an ingest format, then people who use these playout systems can just export their schedule. Mm. And it should, and it lines up. I mean, obviously, if they get out of sync, then, you know, that's their problem. But the whole idea is that it stays in sync. And then, I mean, it could even trigger the pod ping. I mean, we have a way to go, but we'll get to that source where I think it will just generate a feed, upload it, make the changes, upload it, pod ping, boom, good to go.
So the playout system, their playout system would just export like a structured file.
Whatever we need to ingest to make it work.
Will it be JSON?
I hope so. but I'm also thinking, why couldn't the playout system just generate the RSS feed? FTP it, pod ping.
I don't know. You know about those playout things. No, I mean, can it do that?
They have all kinds of stuff like that built in these days.
Let me see.
If only I knew a radio consultant.
Yeah. I bet you don't know any of those.
I do. James Cridland. He's the radio consultant.
All right, James. Marching orders.
Isn't he the radiologist? Let me see. The playout process is strong. It is strongly recommended you do not use this configuration program while playout is running. Continue anyway. Yes, of course.
Of course. Well, why not? What could go wrong?
What am I, a pussy? Yeah, let me see. Remote controls. That's the MIDI remote control. What else can it be remote control by? Okay. Let me see. Advanced. It has these things. Let me see. The logging database. I mean, it has a whole database. You know, you can get into a database and just export it.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, everything's there.
Yeah, you can.
You're talking about MRList, right?
Look at this. MRList. So you can connect to an iTunes database. You can connect to Sam Broadcaster V4, which then will pass your meta.
What does that mean?
That's like an Icecast streamer. So you can then stream the metadata from your system. You can just a script, whatever that is. Anyway. I'll get some info.
YAML, Eric PP. No, not YAML, please.
Discard all changes and close. Yes, okay. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
Hold on. What'd you do?
Oh, I spilled Dr. Pepper. Hold on. Oh, that's really bad. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Shit. Yeah, it's in the keyboard. Hold on.
Oh, no. Disaster.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, fuck a doodle do. Oh, no.
Oh,
did you like dead. That? Was that good acting? Did
you
like that?
You died. I mean, I thought I was going to have to play the show out myself. Hold
on. Let me just rub this. Okay, so I think
rub it out. Just rub it out.
I'm just rubbing one out here, Dave. Give me a second. The show is off the rails, and we have a heart out. Okay. Now, the other day, I spilled, I broke a wine glass, and it spilled over it, and it was kind of and made my MIDI controller a little wonky.
You spilled it in the keyboard?
Yeah, both. Yeah. Well, it's a very cheap keyboard, and I have backups if I need. But
we're gonna have to take away your drink privileges within the studio.
It's my own damn fault. I was horsing around. I shouldn't have done that. I have special spots for drinks. It's almost like a cup holder. But do I use it? No.
No, of course not.
Okay, let me see. Is this still scissors. Working? Okay, we're back. We're back in business. So yeah. Right. Okay. So that's something that can be worked on. I think we need to get the remote item squared away, and that'll start to play out. And we'll get there when it's time, right?
Yeah. Was that a Diet Dr. Pepper or a straight up Dr. Pepper? Thing?
Straight up. It's a small can, one of those little minis. Because I don't
like a 10 ounce or something.
Yeah, I don't really want the poison, but to do this show, you know, I'm so stoned all day. Like, I need a little sugar. I mean,
the phenylketonuria, whatever.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, so we can do that. Yeah, that's that. One interesting thing about this is that, and we're going to see more of this over time, I believe. And so we've got to figure out how to go down this road at some point. Mm-hmm. Is the podcast GUID? So the way these remote items are referenced.
Oh yeah, I have a bad
URL.
I have a bad GUID.
Do you? Oh yeah, you're in Currying the Keeper. Right.
I don't know how that happened, but yeah.
So what a remote item looks like is it is a it's got three attributes, two of which are required, one's optional. It's got the item GUID attribute, which is the GUID from the feed that is being referenced. Mm-hmm. That's fine, for the most part, because, the thing I think as an industry, we've pretty much with Apple coming on board to require GUID now, enclosure episode level GUIDs. I mean, you can just say, well, I mean, if you're not putting GUIDs in your feed, you know, you don't get to play at the party.
Right.
The feed GUID is the one that's going to have to be dealt with over time, which in the feed GUID is a reference to the podcast colon GUID tag. So that is,
thank you for doing colon. There's nothing like a good colon gag.
So the podcast GUID tag is actually been adopted quite a bit. I mean, it's getting some reach. So,
And it's really like it needs to be. It really needs to be promoted as the ISBN of podcasting, and people should do this. I mean, and mm-hmm. if we can market it that way, people will say, "Oh, I really need to get that." So that also means we need to surface. You need to be able to go in and say, "What is this podcast's GUID?"
And that's where I'm headed. So what? That's what. There's already in the API. In the API, there's already a podcast by GUID API endpoint mm-hmm. that will give you that result. But it feels like there needs to be, it needs to be something, this almost needs to be a standalone type of thing where you can just ask, you know, ask a, where you can easily just grab a feed URL of a GUID and not even, and not have to necessarily use an API call. I mean, it'll ultimately everything's sort of an API call.
Right. So in a script, you just say podcast GUID this, and then that, and then the script knows how to get that information.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
It's really just for developers because you're lazy to type all the information in. You just want a token. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it could be something as easy as a service where that's called like, I don't know, that's podcastguid.net. I don't know. And then you just give it and it slash the GUID and it just returns nothing but the GUID and it just returns the feed URL. Mm-hmm. Like some simple result, like a resolver, not an API call. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's probably the way to go with this thing because the GUIDs are going to become more of a thing. I mean, we're going to start referencing them more in these tags.
So are we going to be the centralized resolver?
Well, I don't want to be the centralized resolver on a server, but I mean, we could set up some sort of system, like I don't know, like Cloudflare workers or something.
Whatever we do, before we make any decisions, Let's make sure we run it past Gigi.
Yes, yes. God knows that if you don't, there's hell to pay.
That's my one joke for today about it.
Okay. We must. It must be fully decentralized. In whatever weak way that means.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I don't know about that. It feels like I would like to hear other people weigh
in. Here's a weird thing. Just because I'm weird.
Mm-hmm.
Could I make my podcast GUID my Lightning node or my Bitcoin wallet address?
Not according to. Oh God, you're gonna make me look up the spec, aren't you?
Does it have to be a certain number of numbers or hashes or salted?
It's supposed to be a V5 GUID. Excuse me, a V5 UUID.
UUID. The composite of a UUID is different from a cryptographic address.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a different format, and I think I'm afraid that if you did that, and it's not going to follow the format, then it may get cut off in certain databases.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't think. I think it's probably just better not to do that. Okay. Yeah. So I would like to know if other people think a resolver of some sort is probably the way to go, and then how to properly go about that. In a way that
I really like the idea, and I think it's critical that that we get that up and running, because that is, you know, when you do that, then you can also have a GUID for albums, songs. These are all important things to have, that people can find them based upon that detail.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think there's enough spread now. Buzzsprout includes GUIDs. Who is it? Castos includes GUIDs and all their feeds.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at the list, but there's quite a lot. So I feel like we're there, and we're ready to sort of like flip the switch and take the next step on that. We'll have to, because in remote item, we'll need it.
Right.
And as long as we put it on, as long as whatever form it takes is on Hive, then there won't be any pushback ever. So I think we're good.
We're good to go.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to.
That's so funny.
Okay. So I think we're good on remote item. I think everybody probably understands what that does.
Yeah. I like it. I really like it. These are exciting things. So how does this move forward?
Just through phase six, just progresses.
Okay. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's on the list, and we're, one of the things, Alex is finishing up the 2.0 version of the Podping Hive Router, and that's going to have this stuff in it through the socket. So we can specify these list mediums and that kind of thing as part of the schema. That'll be in there. So we'll be good to go.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't want to keep going. If you've got you got anything else that you want to insert, I don't want to just steamroll.
Maybe just go on a different topic for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
The Squadcast patent. I think you and I have different ideas about that. I wanted to see where you were at.
I just don't like it. It feels, and I could be completely wrong. I don't know those guys at all. Other than Harry Duran, I know him. I was on his show, and he seems like a really great guy. I think he's like an advisor or something. But I don't really know anybody else there.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you interpret what you read about it?
I interpreted it to be that they were trying to hit a patent for something broad that would be a natural evolution of any product like that, in order to carve out basically put a line in the sand for their market share, because that's a crowded market. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of players in there, like Riverside, Clean Feed, Squadcast. Sure,
sure. Did you have an opportunity to read the patent?
I read the first, whatever you call it, like the, the initial as a summary.
It's probably a summary. Yeah.
Or yeah. And it preamble. Was saying that it was like giving, it said like something like more broadly, and I can't remember the exact wording. And that's what gave me pause. I was like, oh, wait, whatever. The way that it was worded made me think, oh, they're going to try to come after anybody who uploads parts of a file and stitches them together later in a way that doesn't lose the time stamping. I'm like, well, I mean, that just, that's, no, that's everybody's okay. going to do that.
So the way I read it was, here's these problems. People have solved these problems in certain ways or not. We mm-hmm. have solved these problems in this particular way, and we're patenting our solution. I don't think you can patent the time drift because there's too much prior art and people have done it. But just like Apple, they didn't, you know, Apple patented, has podcast patents. They patented, I think their namespace. So, I read through all the blog posts from Squadcast and what they were doing. And it seemed to me more really about the actual technology that they've, or the algorithm or whatever they've developed than anything else, because it, their way of doing it is apparently very lightweight. And now you can do a lot more on mobile and other things that you couldn't do before, but I did not read that they were patenting the process itself.
It says, in the description, it says the invention in one form is directed to a method that ensures that recorded audio and video files are always accessible.
A method. Yeah. Not the method, a method.
Okay. And so it gets in, saving files. Okay. Well, I haven't read step by step through this. I may just be ignorant about what can be.
And I understand the knee jerk reaction. I don't participate in the patent system, but mm-hmm. I'm certainly not anti-patent. I feel that I am anti the abuse of the patent system, which, you know, is what you're referring to. But my initial reaction to that, I was actually surprised when I saw all the posts about fuck these guys, I hate patent trolls, like ho ho ho, have we read this thing? And to me, it was just like, okay, we figured out some new ingredient of how to do something that other people are doing, but our way, no one has done. We want to patent that because we want to take commercial advantage of that moving forward. But I didn't really get any of the feeling that they're out to potentially protect their turf or squash others. It seems like this is an innovation, at least what I read, that it's an innovation on what is currently being done, which you can patent.
So I guess one way to think about it is, why would you, and this, I'm not saying this is the right way, but why would you patent something where you can't know if the patent is being violated or not?
Oh, what do you mean? This is exactly what patents are about. Look at Silicon Valley. Look at the lawsuits that did go back 10 years. You used our code here. You used our code there. That, of course, is why I don't use the patent system.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, like, why? Okay, for in this instance, if they've patented, if what they've patented is a specific algorithm, like step one, do this function on this part of the audio to do it, to look at this, step two, blah, blah, blah. So if they've essentially patented what amounts to pseudocode on how to do a thing, then the only way they can know, when they see, let's just say that CleanFeed does the same at some point in the future, also on the fly uploads audio to a central, to back to the mothership and stitches it together, then Squadcast is going to have to sue CleanFeed in order to get discovery on whether or not their algorithm is the same as Squadcast,
which is a very risky business to be in, because if you have a frivolous claim, then you can wind up paying for everything first off the bat. And then mm-hmm. there could be a counterclaim if there's any suspicion that you were doing this on anti-competitive grounds.
Okay. All right. So would that be what it would be? It would be considered anti-competitive?
What if they just start suing people? Look, if you sue people and you're wrong, you definitely have to pay the cost. Right off the bat.
You got to pay for the damages or whatever.
Well, you have to pay lawyers' fees, court fees, and then there can be inconvenience fees, and then there could be, hey, wait a minute, you guys went after us for no reason. I think really what they're trying to protect. And I don't use Squadcast. I use Clean Feed. I like Clean Feed. I certainly wouldn't want anyone to have any issues. I just think that they have created something that they're saying, holy crap, this is groundbreaking. Look at what we can do in a lightweight and even mobile environment with this stuff. And they're very specific about that. And so they want to protect their competitive upside, which I think is marginal. Now, it could also be, just to be honest about it, that they're raising money and the final thing they had to do was show some patented technology. This is not uncommon.
Yeah.
This is not uncommon. Oh, look what we got. So they have some patented technology, and now you're better for some investment. I mean, there's a lot going on. I'm a conspiracy therapist, and when I see one where I just think, everyone's kind of going off on this, and let me see what's happening, I just felt like...
You want to look at the other side.
I always try to look at all sides.
Yeah, you're essentially a betting line. When everything's on one side, you look at the other side.
Oh, 100%.
Gotcha.
That's the gig.
I think that's fair. I mean, I grew up in the open source generation of Sun Microsystems coming after everybody as a patent troll.
Oh, sure,
With the SCO Unix junk, and then the podcast, that podcast patent troll from, 7 or 8 years ago. It's like, you've got so much of this stuff that is it a bad taste in your mouth. As soon as you see it, it's like, don't do that.
Dave Weiner and I didn't patent anything on RSS, certainly not anything on podcasting, none of that. If we had, you and I most likely would not be sitting here talking, and the people might have not even known what a podcast is. And what I've discovered is I like the open way. I like, if you want to call it FOSS, but whatever this project is, because I know that just from the experience of RSS throughout its inception, I've made millions of dollars. I've spent more, but I have millions of dollars. So I don't think I ever would have gotten that in any patent fees.
No, God, no. Yeah, not at all. I mean, well, kind of in a related note, I chose licenses for the namespace.
I saw it. Yeah. Stuff. You got the Mozilla.
I don't know which. What was it? The choice I made was literally, you could be bullet down to just rolling some dice and just seeing what came out the other end. I have no idea. I just used the same thing that I always use.
Which is?
For things like this, which I think it was the Creative Commons. It was the one that basically does everything. It puts it in public domain, but in a safe way. It was that Creative Commons one. Do you think that's the right one to go with?
I, as you know, I've defended Creative Commons in court and I won. Mm. Where do I see the license? On the GitHub?
It's on the podcast namespace on the GitHub. Let me flip back over here. Yeah, it's on the right-hand side. It's the CC0-1.0 license.
Let me see. CC0, what is it?
CC0-1.0 universal license.
1.0. Let's see what it entails. Here we go. Let me see. Public. Let me just see what the protection is. No copyright. The person who associated work dedicated the work to public domain, waiving all of his or rights. You can copy, modify, distribute in no way. In no way are the patent or trademark rights of any person affected unless expressly stated otherwise. Persons are. Blah, 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 blah. So where's the protection? This is just, you can copy, modify, distribute, and perform the work even for commercial purposes, all without asking permission.
I mean, that sounded like the way to get, because I've always heard you don't actually want to use public domain. You want to use a license that gives you public domain in a safe way.
Yes. Well, you can say, I have this document that says I can use it.
Yeah. It says limitate permissions, commercial use, modification, distribution, private use, limitations, liability, trademark use, patent use, and warranty.
Where's that? I don't see that. Where is that?
That's at the top of the page. Like it's GitHub giving you like a little rundown. If you're on the live, if you go to podcastnamespace/license.md, that's the.
Oh, this is actually the whole thing is pretty long. It's good. Yeah. No, it's good.
Okay.
That's what we want. Right. Yeah. Here, no trademarks or patent rights. Yeah. This is good.
Okay. All right.
I think cool. That's perfect. I love Creative Commons. I'm a fan. I think it's the way to go. I've used it. I've used it to defend assholes against the assholes. I mean, okay. And it worked.
Yeah. Was that the Dutch photographer stuff?
They took pictures from my Flickr at the time, which were all, and Flickr, I put them on Flickr because you could mark them with a Creative Commons license. And they were printing them on the front page of the gossip magazines. And I said, well, so what are you going to pay me? They laughed. I said, okay. And I sued them. you have to understand in a socialist country, they're not going to give you some big award. But I said, look, this is what I think it would be worth. And so they gave me no reward or award. But if it ever happens again, it's some ridiculous amount of like 10,000 euros per copy per day. You know, so I would be an instant millionaire.
That's Brown of London level money.
I basically don't show up in any magazines ever again. They're like, Curry, he's like kryptonite, man, which is mission accomplished, I would say. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's they beat the intern, but if he tries to push something on the CMS, Buzzsprout removed all the email addresses from their feeds. Did you see that?
I saw the announcement. Yeah,
yeah. So that
it's like click here or forever hold your peace.
I feel like that means a couple of things. Like,
well, there goes half my income. How are we going to span podcasters with my great deals?
Oh, I know with your beef initiative that you're clearly a founder of.
Yes. Right? Oh, obviously.
According to Bloomberg.
I got points on everybody's deal. Sure. That's me. Yeah. I'm not an advisor. Actually, I am an advisor. I'm an unpaid advisor of beef.
That's right. Podping allows it. So the way they're doing it, I thought this was interesting to bring up. The way they're doing it is they're removing the email address is not going to be in there. And we made a change to the lock tag because previously email address was required for the lock tag. Now it's not.
Right.
We made it optional. And I'm not really sure why we ever made it required.
You just went in there and without a vote, you just willy-nilly changed something in the holy namespace?
Yes.
Excellent work.
Somebody stop me. And so it was like, wow, I kept thinking, I was like, there must have been a reason. There must have been a reason we did this. It made it required. Hmm. And I, for the life of me, could not think of one.
You can't remember?
And required things are like kryptonite anyway. So I'm that you don't ever want to use them unless you actually have like this supreme reason that makes sense to everybody.
Well, if we can't even remember, then it's...
Well, this is ridiculous, yeah. So I removed that, and that allowed them to take that out of the lock tag. So so they're going to remove that, and I'm just saying, they're not going to be in there, but then you're going to have the option in their dashboard to turn it on for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And it'll put it back in there, send a pod ping. We will reparse the feed, suck the email address in if we don't have it. So I think we need to clean the database when an email address is removed. I don't think the code is currently doing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course you want to do that. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We don't want that. If it's out, we don't want it. Otherwise, or it still has some value. We could bundle that shit up.
That's right. Package it, yeah.
Sell it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We can make playlists out of it and just, you know, get sats for spamming people's email address. So that, I think that's, one other thing I did, this may be interesting. I started sucking in some music medium tags from this long running music analysis project.
Yes. How many days has that been running?
Many. I don't know how many.
I'll bet you're probably like 30 or 40% through it all, if that.
I don't know where Alex is on his, because we split the load half and half. Uh-huh. And I'm
want to explain what you're doing, just so everyone knows.
Yeah. Okay. So we wrote a tool called Slurpee that will bring that will suck down all of the
Slurpee.
In the enclosures, it'll suck down all the most recent enclosure from each feed in the database, in the index, and save it as an MP3 file in the file system. Then a Python script comes along behind it that does like a machine learning algorithm to detect whether or not the audio in that MP3 is music or speech. And then it flags it, one or the other. So it just goes through and does that all through. It actually gives it three categories. It gives it, it classifies it as either music, maybe, which is kind of like, maybe music, but I'm not sure.
Time to review.
Or yeah. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or nothing. Yeah, so the out of, I am on podcast index ID 628,774. So I'm going through up to 2 million, and then Alice has started at 2 million and is going to go through to the end.
There's a lot. I'm looking at the CurioCaster music tab. Mm-hmm. There's more in here.
Okay.
There's definitely more than the last time I looked. Let me see.
Let me see how many there are.
It looks like I'm missing a few. Like, where did Abel Kirby go?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is from when I started. Yep. Yep. This is me. Putting these in here. And so what I've started doing this morning is, let me just say UQ stories. We're going to have to run some sort of verification on this, because I'm already seeing a few that may have been misclassified.
You mean conversations with a chef? Yeah, let's see why the AI, this would be one of the reasons. Let's see how long the intro song is.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Conversation with a Chef. I'm Joe Ritty, and I love sharing with you the conversations I get to have with talented and passionate chefs.
Oh, interesting. She had the mute. Her mic is so tinny sounding, it almost sounds like it's part of the song.
I wonder if you keep going in that episode. Is there a music bed through the whole thing?
I'll bet you there is. Let's see.
And not mucking them. And all those.
Yeah.
Where would you like to sit?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not the whole thing, but the first.
Oh, hi.
And then lots of background noise.
Yeah.
I bet that's first few
minutes. Man, AI, I can't wait until it's controlling my car. So good. Oh, yeah. So yeah. Good. ML. That's ML, everybody. Machine learning.
Let's see. There's a bunch of these are clearly music, but
oh yeah, Wrapped Out Radio. What's Wrapped Out Radio, everybody? Let's check it out. Ooh.
DJ Tati Mia, you talking about?
Yeah, what you talking about? Dropping a beat, baby. Go, ho, hit me now. Yeah, nice, man. That's good stuff. Oh, I gotta listen to this. I'm already digging this. There's some good stuff, I'll bet. Where's this? Let's see, what's the website? I wonder where it's coming from. Is that coming from SoundCloud, some of this stuff?
Yeah, so all of this is actually coming from SoundCloud. What I'm doing right now, in an effort to get some content in there for people to start playing with for music apps,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go ahead and suck in some of these ones that we feel pretty good about. But to make that even more accurate, I'm only doing the ones that are on SoundCloud for now. If they have a SoundCloud URL, I'm going to mark those with them. And if they're on the SoundCloud URL and the machine learning was really confident that it was music,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to mark those.
Right.
And there's about nine out of 628,774. It has found so far 9,775. also, I mean, this is really just, I want to say that we know from talking to some other people that there are definitely going to be music podcasts coming down the pipe soon.
Oh, yeah. Let me just check this thing. What is this?
We back. Me and Darren.
This is stream. Last time we were- Interesting. I got, this is because people haven't entered byte length. I get 0 minutes, 1 second, but it's an hour.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Dave, yeah. I love this stuff, man. I love this. This is so cool.
So if you're planning on writing a music interface for a podcast app or a music-based...
Your life just got a heck of a lot easier is what we're saying.
Yeah, you got content now, and then... and if you even if you have even thought about doing that, I encourage you to please go ahead and start coding something because...
It's going to go fast. We're going to have an influx. Go ahead and say it. There's an influx coming.
That's not just a prediction. That's for real.
Yeah. Blunt force. Lockdown. Restivalilal mix.
Cool.
Super duper. I love this stuff.
What is... Are you on the CurioCaster page? Is that where you're at?
Yeah.
Music?
The music tab.
Do you see number three from the top? Gangju Underground Radio?
I sure do. Let's give it a shot. Gangju! Hit me now, Gangju. Short Dujin mix.
Present day. Present time.
Nice. Man, people are doing some creative stuff.
Oh yeah. This is a way to get out there. This is really cool. All, you know, new opportunity.
And like just it. Think anyone could help them V4V enable their feeds.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't take much. They can do it themselves. They can go to podcasterwallet.com.
I don't know if you've let's see, is there anything else on music? See. Here's I guess one more thing on music is how do we want to go about there's gotta be some human validation of these things to weed out the ones that are misclassified. I mean, how do we want to do that? Should it be our UI for that or what?
Well, podcast events. This song this feed is misclassified.
Ah, okay. Oh, that's a good idea, actually.
That's why I'm here, brother.
Sir, you've proven your utility.
Should we thank a few people, considering we have a hard out in 45 minutes?
We get a hard out.
We do. We have a hard out. We got stuff to do. I can't believe you accepted this this invitation time. We should have said no.
But I'm 15 years old. Every time you say hard out, it makes me giggle.
Here's what's been coming in. Lots of live boosts. We really appreciate that. Value for value, this entire project, it's all run by the people who support it. And they support it because they get value from it and they send it back to us. Some do it through PayPal. We'll talk about that in a moment. That you can get to at podcastindex.org. And of course, we want you to have an app that has a boost button. If you don't, quick, have a look. Go to nudepodcastapps.com and select a new one or a nude one. Freudian slips, 5,000 sats. Can you explain why the transcripts.srt spec is only 32 character line lengths? I can't find an export option with VOSC or Whisper to manipulate line length or segment length.
Dude, I have no idea what any of that even means.
it's the output. This is something I don't know. But maybe someone can boost an answer. Floydian slips again, 5,000. Here's some sats to buy a new Dr. Pepper. Although with all these native ads, you probably have a solid cache of soda. Oh, yeah, sure.
Native ads.
Sure, yeah. That's me, Mr. Native Ad. Uh-oh, what is this? Donation in honor of episode 200 of Grumpy Old Ben's, and in case you need a new keyboard, from Darren O, 500,000 sats.
Baller. Whoa. Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Do I get a t-shirt now, he says? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And he ends up with a Go Podcasting.
Go Podcasting!
Brother, thank you very much.
Yes, just send me your, Darren, just send me your t-shirt size and your address. I'll get you one.
Thank you, brother. That's very cool.
Thank you, Darren.
Carolyn comes in with 18,888. No such thing as too off the rails when it comes to podcasting 2.0. Run with scissors. 10101 from Harv Hat, 3333 from Booberry. By my count, he says it's 18 live shows per week on the No Agenda stream.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good. There's a lot to be done there.
18 live items.
2300 from Floydian Slips, enjoying my CurioCaster wallet. Anyone listening should do the same. A row of ducks, 22222. So 22,222 from Eric P. 1948 from Brian of London. Podping is pinging and Hive is living. Yes, it is. More ducks for the pond. 2222 from Mike Dell. The bird is free. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll just say it right now. Don't get too all jitty about Twitter being free, because I'm gonna tell you right now what's coming next. You will be forced to verify your identity. It's the only way you can get rid of the spam and the bots. And then the fun is over, because you can get sued for saying things, for trolling. You can do things that are wrong in certain countries, certainly.
Did you see what Elon said when he posted his open letter to advertisers? Did you see that?
No.
He said a lot, but he said,
no doubt.
As part of it, he said, I also very much believe that advertising, when done right, can delight, entertain, and inform you. Yeah. It can show you a service or product or medical treatment that you never knew existed, but is right for you.
Right.
For this to be true, it is essential to show Twitter users advertising that is as relevant as possible to their needs. Low relevancy ads are spam, but high relevant ads are actual content. Fundamentally, Twitter aspires to be the most respected advertising platform in the world that strengthens your brand and grows your enterprise. Let's build something extraordinary together.
Okay, that's fair enough. Sounds good. I like that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you think about it in terms of monetizing the network, you can't get high relevancy from the network itself without invading people's privacy.
That's the only way. And he will have that. And the government will love it. Mm-hmm. And lawyers will love it. And the fun will be over. The trolling will be over. If it's not anonymous, it's not going to be fun. Anyway.
They're going to be a better Facebook than Facebook.
Dude, Facebook is so dead. It's not even funny.
They only
have $1 billion in free cash flow they generated. That's a problem.
That's not good at all.
No. 3333 from Servo, boosting from Crontab. 33,333 from Booberry, self-hosting a Mastodon instance has been most excellent. Join us at spook.social, where instead of boosting posts, you can glow them like a true spook. Stay tuned after No Agenda this Sunday. For a lit behind the schemes, all goats must go. Yeah. Sure. 2222 from Macintosh, row of ducks. Thank you. We have, I think that is it. Yeah, those are our live boosts. And of course, you can follow along in CurioCaster, CurioCaster.com, or get your alerts right there in Podverse, podverse.fm, to go get the app. And of course, the podverse.fm/livestream page, which is very cool. And thank you all so much for supporting us early on, pre-boosting, before we even got to the donation segment.
37, 38, 39, 40, 41. Oh my God. 42, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You seriously 50. Don't have 50 to do, do you? We got to have cutoffs, Dave.
60.
There's too many. It's too many. You got to cut off, man. You got to start cutting off at 10,000.
80. I'm trying to add up all these streams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
What streams are you doing? I thought you were adding up number of donations. I'm like, we can't do 80 donations.
No, I mean, there's okay, that was 90. Auburn Citadel sent us, okay, we're going to have to come back to this. I'll do the PayPals first. He's got his stream amount set to 3333. He's streaming us 3333 a minute.
Do you think he realizes this?
He did it last week too. He's got to realize it. Surely he's done, because he'd have to reload.
Holy moly, guacamole. Okay. That's crazy.
All right, we'll do math on that in a second. Let's see. We got some PayPals. Starting off with Buzzsprout. $500.
Ah. Baller.
Shot caller. 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
So appreciated. Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Tom. Thank you
so much, guys.
Thank you, Kevin. And the crew at Buzzsprout, thank you every month for that. We really appreciate you thinking of us.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Also, our buddy Oscar at Fountain.
I'm sorry. This is, I just opened.
What in the world?
That's the Albi Saturn interface. You can go to live and so it, and it shows you boost, but it also shows you the per minute. So I was looking to see if I could see the 3330.
I thought you were playing Subway Surfers to get us some more our download numbers up.
And this page has, I have to say, some massive, massive confetti flying all over it when something comes in. It's quite spectacular. Oh my goodness.
Like our buddies.
Big spurt.
Oscar and Nick over at Fountain gave us $200. They do this every month.
Oh, dude,
thank
you.
We're very appreciative.
Yes.
Not an advisor.
Not a paid advisor.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Oscar. Yeah, I've been chatting with Oscar a little bit about Bitcoin in the UK.
He also said that once he's done with all this most recent round of improvements, they're going to work on Lit.
Oh, that'll be good. Yep. That'll be good. That's a big missing piece there for them. Yeah, it's because I messaged him because I don't know if you saw it. The UK had some, like, they've had some regulations come.
I have not followed it. What happened? What was the reg?
I asked him what he thought about it, and he said he thinks it's a net positive. I don't remember the exact details.
I'll have to take a look. I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, they. He thinks it was a good thing. Jennifer Navarrete. She still has not said how to pronounce her name, but she continues to come in every week.
It's okay. We'll keep saying it that way.
$30 this week.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yeah. That's very appreciated. She says,
first, thank you. Podcasting has new life because of Podcast Index and 2.0. Y'all rock. Aww. This 30 is for the 30 upcoming episodes of Podcasting and the Blockchain, which is part of the November 1st through 30th National Podcast Post Month National Podcast Post Month Challenge, a.k.a. NAPODPOMO. hashtag. I aim to teach folks a bit about the beautiful blend of podcasting 2.0 and Web 3. It's magic.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And we got $20 donation from Digitech Solutions. No note, but thank you, Digitech.
Thank you, Digitech. This does help. This keeps servers running. This is really appreciated.
Yeah, we did lose. We lost a $20 monthly subscriber. So
yeah, people. Apparently, PayPal just snuck their $2,500 fine right back into their acceptable use policy and just
did they?
Oh yeah, it's in there. Yep.
Are you kidding me?
No,
no, no news at all. They just came right back
and no reporting on it, as you notice. It's important to note. It's important to note that the under the PayPal terms and conditions. You may not post, write, speak, fart negatively about PayPal. Otherwise, that is grounds for them to cut you off. Just letting you know.
Yeah. Well, that's
that's long-term policy. They've had that policy for a long time.
That's the way that's the way it is in sports too. If you badmouth the referee or the conference that you're a part of, you get heavy fine. Like they can smack you down. So I don't know.
Yeah, but $2,500 right out of your bank account is a little different than being smacked down. It's like, that's a lot of money.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah, no, that would be devastating to us. We don't, that's like 3 months worth of donations.
Well, it's not just that. If you read the language, if you support something that promotes misinformation, terrorism, whatever else, you can get dinged as the financier.
And you also get the $2,500 hit.
You get the $2,500 hit. It's not the recipient necessarily. If you are funding that, yes.
It just stuns me that they did it and then apologized and said, oh, no, we didn't mean to. And then immediately went right back and did it again.
Does it really surprise you?
That kind of does, honestly. Yeah, that does because they were so like, I don't know. They were so like, I don't want to say apologetic, but they were like, oh, no, we didn't mean, that wasn't supposed to be, that was just a draft proposal of some wording. I don't think that one does surprise me. Yeah. That they came back with it and just went right back in there.
None of this surprises me. This is why we got together 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
None of it surprises me. All right. We got any more?
You prepare for the future, but you don't like to see it happen.
I think it's exciting. Even though we got hurt pretty good by people canceling PayPal. Those the sustaining monthly donations, they matter. They matter.
Six. Seven,
by the way, we celebrated 15 years of the. It's the 15th anniversary week this week for No Agenda.
Happy birthday!
Thank you. You know what the hard part about value for value? It's hard after all these years and for all the value that people have provided. I'm talking end of show mixers, artists. I mean, you can't thank everybody. And if you tried, you'd miss hundreds.
It's impossible.
Yeah, but it's anyway. Yes, we made it. 15 years. We're still alive.
Do you have access to a calculator?
I do.
Can you calculate what 3333 times 108 is?
Okay, 33 times 108, 359,964.
Auburn
so,
Citadel.
Yo!
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
Nice, man. So I don't think he had the streaming set for that. I think it was just he was boosting without a boostogram.
Every minute?
Yeah, why not? It wouldn't show up in your list if it wasn't a boost.
You may be right. How did he? I'm gonna have to invest. This is cause for investigation.
Where did he boost from? What app?
Fountain.
Yeah, maybe he just kept hitting it.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have this. This requires investigation. I'm going to get to the bottom of what happened.
T-minus 30 minutes for your heart out.
Okay. That means speed up. Roy Scheinfeld, 5-4-3-2-1.
And may I say, the latest Breeze update, oh my goodness. Have you used Breeze since the update?
I have not opened it, but I know that it notified me that I needed to because it said my chain was out of sync.
You will love it. It feels like a feather.
Ooh.
It is so fast. It feels like it's light. I don't know what, I can't even explain it, but of course, you know, I use all these apps, so you feel that difference. Mm-hmm. The payments work faster, or at least what's shown. I mean, it's good. It's real, and the podcasting features are kind of coming up there. Is that really working hard on making the good podcast app in it?
Okay, I just opened it and let it sync, and then I'll use it on the way back to the office. Roy Schoenfeld, 5-4-3-2-1. Thank you, Roy.
Appreciate Thanks, Roy.
It. Yeah. 10,000 sats from Absurdient. No note. Thank you, Absurdient. 2222 from Cole McCormick. He says, boosting while having my nightly dessert, frozen blueberries and raw cream from Raw Farms in Fresno, California.
Mm-hmm. Couple of ducks there.
5552 from Satoshi Stream. Little smiley face.
Thanks, guys.
Sat streamer.
And another one from 5552 from Satoshi Stream. And the note says, speaking slowly is hard. It is.
Sat streamer.
Thank you.
It is. Miramoto's podcast is our friend Kyron. He says, long form and unedited are my favorite podcasts by far. Juan and I also regularly call each other out on and off air for the repetitive, non-useful words. Like is a serial offender for me. Mm. And the classic Aussie positive negative, yeah, nah, or nah, yeah.
Yeah, no. This, I think, relates to the conversation we had about the editing, the Descript editing tool. I think.
Yeah.
And there's one other thing I wanted to mention about that. I hear in regularly, I'd say maybe once every 10 days, I'll hear an edit that was not picked up which I think is the fault of Descript, and I'm not sure if it's a bug. And I hear James do it a lot. And
I heard one on Pod News this week.
Yeah. I hear them all the time. And he'll pick it up, but then it wasn't corrected, and the edit wasn't made. And I wonder if it could be where if you're just reading the transcript and you're making your edits that way, it may be very easy to miss a double word, you know, end of previous line, beginning of the next line. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like a little bit sometimes, where you read it as a perfect sentence. Use your ears, people.
I like it when that happens because I get to laugh at him in the car while I'm driving.
Why are we even that? You're right. Our secret little humorous guilty pleasure. Ruined it now. Ruined it.
Okay. That was 22-222 from Kyron. Thank you guys. Appreciate y'all. Much. Anonymous 1337 says, what if you shift some of the opinions and thoughts on GitHub issues into GitHub discussions?
I think that's been this discussion. Yeah, absolutely. Good idea.
Yeah, I'm taking that approach. Feral Apothecary sent us 1,400 sass through Fountain. No note. Thank you, Feral Apothecary. True Grits sent us 1701. Oh, that's a Star Trek boost, 1701. Says, you have got to bring Chris Last from Jupiter Broadcasting back on about this very subject of using the Lightning Network to transform software development. I know this is something that he has had a lot of thoughts on over the past few months. Well, always glad to have Chris back.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell me what's to come.
Boost. Yeah.
Permanent invitation. Feral Apothecary, 2200 through Fountain. No note again. We've got Hey Citizen through Podverse, 6969. And the note here is drop table gimlet, semicolon.
That's it. 69, dudes.
We've got another one from Hey Citizen, 6969, says drop table space podcasting underscore industrial underscore complex semicolon.
Okay. 69, dudes.
A little bit of database humor there.
Yes.
10,000 sats from Sir Doug. Go podcasting.
Thank you, Sir Doug.
Go podcasting.
Coral Hummingbird sent us 69,420 sats through Breeze.
Wow. I think we should get a little big boost. Maybe a
boost.
Thank you.
Well, that matches up just fine because Coral Hummingbird's note is developers.
boost.
You felt it.
I guess.
Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster, sent us 77777. Through Fountain.
The Striper says, boost.
That's right. The work of PC 2.0 is changing the world at the speed of science.
And we're getting what's it called, Dave? The family of that huge podcast network. They got 3 million.
Focus on the family.
Yeah. So we're helping them out a little bit. You more than me, because you know all this stuff better. Or you figured out what their problem was. I didn't quite understand the problem, I guess.
Yeah, 2.0, bringing them along.
That's a big Godcast network.
Congrats to everyone who has contributed their time, talent, or treasure to make it happen. Thank you. I invite all to join me as we read through the Bible in a year at audiobible.link. Go podcasting.
Indeed.
Go podcasting!
This is 2052 sats from The Tone Wrecker.
Wrecker.
That sounds like a wrestler, like a WWE thing. The Tone Wrecker. Thank you. No note from The Tone Wrecker. 48407 sats from Brian of London and Hive DAO and V4V app. And he says, I can't say much more, but we largely won our little court skirmish last week. Meta won't get the creepy personal details they asked us for.
Hey, you better hurry up, man. They're going to be out of money by the time you win all that crap.
would that not be the biggest kick in the crotch?
It would be horrible if they completely went bankrupt just at the time when... And by the way, if Brian wins, it will bankrupt them.
They will be bankrupt.
They will be bankrupt, yes.
We're safe, guys. We've got $100 billion in the bank.
Good to go.
Then Brian comes along and... $100 billion gone. Dovidas, 21012.
Oh, nice.
21,012 sats through Fountain, and he says, boost!
And that is a rush boost.
Boost!
If that is intended to be a rush boost, I throw a yellow card.
That's right. Flag. That is
a violation.
Flag on
There's
the play.
A zero in there, yes. And 22-22 from McIntosh, row of ducks, McIntosh. That's a note.
You got it. Got your ducks right here.
And finishing up with the Delimiter comic strip blogger, 15,033 sats. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Live happy. And by the way, I warmly invite you and your audience to listen to the podcast about artificial intelligence, narrated by the British voice of Gregory William Forsyth Foreman, the TV show developer. Just enter AI.cooking in your web browser or in your podcast player app, Yo CSB.
Yowza. Thank everybody. Thank you, everybody, for your support of the show. Good numbers. Nice. Nice yeah. boost today. Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. The value. So this is the value return, and this is how it should work. And it's not going to be much more than 3 or 4% of the people who participate in the project listen to the podcast, but everybody can participate in many different ways, providing value back to podcasting 2.0. And thank you so much.
We got some monthlies to finish that off, and it's Pod News. James over there at Pod News sent us $50. Thank you, James. Sean McCune, $20. Jeff Miller, $20. And by the way, Jeff, I looked. Jeff has been supporting us with a $20 subscription since September of 2020.
Hey, hey, there's something wrong here.
What?
I can't believe, what is this? This What's is very what? Sad news. I just got a live boost from Sam Sethi. 10,000 okay. sats. Another great show, guys. Can't wait for the Spurlock interview. But it's goodbye from Podland. Episode 100 next week is our last one.
Whoa, what?
I don't understand.
They must be.
I heard him joking on the show. I'm like, maybe they're changing the format or something. Don't get me all upset. If this is your idea of some kind of promotional item where you get me all emotionally involved, because Podland is one of the podcasts I listen to religiously. I'm pissed off when it doesn't come in on Thursday.
Guys, it's October 28th. It's not April 1st. This is not appropriate.
Mm. Anyway, if it is over, then Sam, I'll do a podcast with Sam. I have a day somewhere, don't I?
There's a Wednesday. Yeah, there's a Wednesday in there.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate that.
Cone Glossbach sent us $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, $10. Jordan Dunville, $10. Paul Saltzman, $22.22.
Thanks, Paul.
Dreb Scott, $15. Also a subscription since September of 2020, almost at the beginning. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Leslie Martin, $2. Pedro Concalvis, $5. And also since September of 2020, Aaron Reno, $5.
Thank you all so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0.
Boost!
Boost more often.
Boost!
Boost, people.
Do you know... We're at 2:11.
We have 19 minutes. T-minus 19 for the hard out.
Thanks, 15. Control room. Thanks. We're up to speed.
Just for giggles, I pulled our download numbers from the OP3.
Oh, good. Because I had a question about that. Yeah. So what range and what did you do? What did we get here?
Yeah, I hadn't done that in a while. I'm just printing this out. It looks like just a few off the cuff stats here. So we got our biggest podcasting 2.0 or the podcasting 2.0 app that people listen to us the most on is Fountain. And then we'll see. I'm looking through. So we got it's Fountain. Well, obviously Apple is the Apple podcast app. Fountain, Google Chrome. That's number two. So Chrome is the second most. It's probably CurioCaster, I bet.
I would think so, yeah, probably.
Pocket Cast is right behind that. Then AntennaPod, Podcast Addict, Overcast.
How many Apple?
Let's see.
Seeing as
Apple
that,
itself only a is 207.
So it's very low on the scale.
Yes, the Apple iPhone generic is probably the streaming. So it's somewhere, I'm thinking it's somewhere probably around 2,500 Apple podcasts.
And this is for over what period?
This is for, I just picked our Steak and Eggs episode, 106.
Oh, just one episode. Oh, yeah. So how many total?
How many total was, let me flip over here, 7,355. There were 99 of those were bots.
How many? 7,000 you said?
That's total downloads. And so if you, it's going to be, your ranged is somewhere around 1,400, I think. And so I think the total true number is around 4,000.
No, that sounds good. Sounds about right. That's more than I thought, actually.
Yeah, a little more than I thought, too. But then our most, we'll see, we, Chicago is still the first. That's probably just an artifact. But then Dallas, maybe we got some regional stuff. It's cool. Yeah, just, I don't know, curiosity more than anything else.
Because I think, how many episodes of No Agenda have I put up there now?
Oh, quite a few. Yeah, a lot. Do we have that every week, right?
Yeah, every show. Do we have a month's worth yet?
Oh, I bet we do.
Do we though? Let me see. That would be, I bet. Well, no, we have to finish out. How does it work? You have to finish out the month, right? So we, let me see, favorite feeds. Okay, favorite feeds, No Agenda. Here we go. Let me see. A month ago would be, I think, episode 1490. That was,
I'm looking on Podcast Index right now.
Oh no, that would, it needs to be 1491.
Yep, 1491 had OP3 in it.
Yep. Okay. So,
and 1490 had it in it, and 1489.
Right. Right. But we need to finish. 1489. We need to finish out. We need to finish out the month. We'll just do it over the date range, not the episode. But I just want to know the how many supposed so called downloads in a month.
So not September 25th was the first episode that had OP3 in it, and so we're already past the month mark. We're on October 28th.
Oh, okay. Oh, so we can pull that. We can pull that data.
Sure, I'll do that.
And so we can calculate how much we would make with advertising.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I do it, get a kick out of it. But we look how rich we could be. We're not doing it right.
No, we don't have it. We don't have an exit. We'll just go down with the ship.
Let me see. I don't think I had anything else. That's or I mean, at least not that aren't longer topics to dive into.
I've always got some stuff.
I'm just looking at our 14 minutes we have left before our
heart. Okay.
I'm just saying. All right. You know, it's like,
never mind.
We got 1:42 on the clock, buddy. I think we're good. We've done it once again. We've gotten through a whole board meeting without fighting.
Wish we'd do so much.
Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thank you, everybody who's listening live. You can do that on CurioCaster. You can do it on Podverse. But of course, all of the podcasting 2.0 apps at newpodcastapps.com, nudepodcastapps.com. And if you want to join in, go to podcastindex.social and request an invite and we'll hook you up. Thank you, brother. Another great week, Dave. Nothing but the future's so bright.
You gotta wear shades.
And we will be back next week with another episode, or should I just say another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Take care, everybody. See you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Podcasts are cool.